and we're calling it Living in the Challenges of Life. 2020 seems to be a very significant date. I began to read some days ago about predictions that have been made in the past that were supposed to be fulfilled by 2020. Just a few of the more outlandish predictions that people thought would be true by now. 20 years ago, they predicted that by now, robots would be doing most of our jobs. I don't know about you, but nobody is doing my job. And I don't think robots are doing your job yet. They predicted that by 2020, we would have computers that were super intelligent and possessed human-like qualities, even showing emotion. My computer has not cried yet. They predicted that we would have implanted somehow on us or tattooed, as it were, on our skin something that would monitor our health and would be able to immediately tell your doctor, you're at work and you're not feeling good, your doctor would know it. They said that by 2020, we would have little tiny nanobots put into our bloodstream that would be able to suck the appropriate nutrients out of our food and utilize it better than your body can so you could eat less. That doesn't sound like fun to me. 20 years ago, they predicted that you would now be able to vacation on the moon and that interstellar travel would be commonplace, that you could get on a spaceship just as you get into your car and you could go to Mars, you could go wherever you wanted to go. Well, life has not changed as much as many of the, I almost hesitate to use this word, experts said that it would change. In fact, in many ways, life is the same as it has always been. One of the areas of life that has not changed is that we all face challenges in life. All of these predictions about the future that were made 20, 30, 50 years ago seem to say our life is going to be better. Our life is going to be so good that you will just breeze through life. And yet today we come to 2020 and we still face challenges in life. Life has not become a utopia. People still get sick. People still have accidents. People still get involved in lawsuits. People still die. One prediction was that by 2020, the average person would live to be 150 years old. And yet, it hasn't happened. Challenges are still a major part of life. What challenge did you go through in the last year? What challenge do you think you might go through in the new year? And how will you handle the challenges that you will face in this new year? To help you face the challenges of life in 2020, we are going to start a study in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter is a book that was written to people who were facing challenges in life. And it gave them ways to handle the challenges in ways that would please God, in ways that would build their own spiritual lives, in ways that would help them handle the challenges in godly ways. I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of 1 Peter. If you did not bring a Bible today, feel free to reach in front of you and take a Bible out of the rack and turn in that Bible to page 814. Peter begins this epistle, this letter, this writing, by saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter begins by identifying himself and identifying his audience. He is writing to Christians who have fled persecution in Israel. And if you look at this map, this is what is present-day Turkey. And you will find each of these areas that he listed in verse 2 on this map. He's writing to people in Cappadocia, in Galatia, in Asia, in Bithynia and Pontus. These are the people that Peter is writing to. Many of them, having fled persecution in Israel, have settled in what is really sort of an outback area, sort of the frontier area, which is today modern-day Turkey. And he calls them pilgrims, or perhaps your Bible uses the word sojourners. In both a physical sense and in a spiritual sense, they are outsiders to the area where they live. And he reminds them that they have been elect or chosen by God to be saved. We're not going to get into a big discussion today. Some of you believe very strongly in election, that God elects those who are saved. Some of you do not believe that strongly. You believe more that it is the free will of man that determines their salvation. Peter refers to the fact that they have been chosen by God according to his foreknowledge. The word foreknowledge refers to the fact not just that God knew what would happen ahead of time as if he had no jurisdiction over it, he had no influence over it, he had no say in it. It refers to the fact that this is going to happen because it was part of God's plan. And his goal for saving people is so they can be sanctified. That is, they can become holy. They can become set apart from sin and obedient to God. And all of that is possible, he says in verse 2, because of the blood of Jesus. It is because of Jesus that we are here today. It is because of Jesus that we can have our sins forgiven. It is because of Jesus that we can have the name Christian. And I want in 2020 for us to refocus again on what all of this is about that we call our Christian life. It's about Jesus. If you are a Christian here today, then everything he said in verse 2 is also true about you. You have been chosen by God. He chose you so that you can be sanctified. You can become holy. You can become like Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. Not because you did anything for yourself, not because you deserve it, but because of Jesus. He continues by talking about the purpose. Peter's purpose was to encourage these believers who are living in challenging times. There's a key passage that I want you to turn over to. It's verses 6 and 7 of this first chapter. We'll get to this later in our study this morning, but he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation or the coming of Jesus Christ. He's writing to people to encourage them to rejoice who have been grieved by trials. Now, when we think of 1 Peter and we think about these people who are grieving, these people who are going through challenges in life, our first thought is normally that they have gone through persecution for their faith. And it's true that they were being persecuted because of their faith. But notice that Peter says they have faced various trials. They have faced a variety of trials or challenges in life. And he mentions five challenges throughout his book that these people had to deal with. Let me go through them very quickly. He talks first about the challenge of persecution. We saw that here in verses 6 and 7. If you look over at chapter 4, you'll see it again in verses 12 and verse 14. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Verse 14, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." These were people who were being persecuted because they followed Jesus, because they attached to themselves the name Christian. This was one of the great challenges, the challenge of persecution. In his book, he's also going to talk about the challenge of temptation. Go back to chapter 2. We'll see several here in chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." He says that you're going to face the challenge of temptation, lustful things that are warring against the spiritual life. He talks about the challenge of slander. Again, in the next verse, verse 12, "having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." In chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers," Christians who were trying to live for God, who were trying to live a godly life, were being slandered, and people were saying they're evildoers. They're not good doers, they're evildoers. He talked about the challenge of mistreatment in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." They were being mistreated. These were Christian servants or slaves who were trying to live for God, who were being mistreated by ungodly masters. It's a challenge. It was a challenge for them. He talks about the challenge of spiritual attack in chapter 5, in verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." These Christians were under spiritual attack by Satan. It was a challenge in their lives. How are we going to live when we're under attack by the evil one? And while their spiritual persecution was at the top of the list of the challenges that they faced in life, there were other challenges that they faced as well. As I went through that, I hope that you said to yourself, not much has changed, because not much has changed in life. As Christians today, we are still living in challenging times. Challenges in life will come in a variety of ways for the Christian. They may be different for all of us, but we all go through them. We all face challenges. Listen, it is not easy to live the Christian life. Can I just share a little bit of wisdom with you? If you are a Christian and you say it's really easy to live the Christian life, there's no problem, there's something wrong with the way you're living the Christian life. It is not easy to live the Christian life. You will face challenges. And we need to know how to handle the challenges of life, whether they're spiritual challenges or physical challenges, whatever kind of challenges they are. Here's the key thing that I want you to take away from this morning. Living successfully in the challenges of life is all about your spiritual life. It doesn't matter what your challenge is. Your spiritual life is at the center of your life as a Christian. It is to be the controlling element over all of the rest of your life. Now, you can make an argument that we can't divide life up. We have the spiritual over here. We have the material over here. We have something else over here. I'm going to do that a little bit today because I want you to get the point that your spiritual life should control every other area of your life. If you're going to face the challenges that life throws at you, this is where you will have to begin. Your material success is not going to address the challenges of life. Good health is not going to address the challenges of life. Being famous is not going to address the challenges of life. What is going to help you as a Christian live successfully in the challenges of life is where you are spiritually in life. Well, there are three things that you can do in your spiritual life that Peter brings out in the first part of this text as we look at the first 12 verses. Three things that you can do that will help you face the challenges of 2020. And the first one is practice refocusing your thoughts. One of the biggest obstacles that we deal with in life is our mind. When we face challenges in life, our thoughts tell us things like, you don't deserve to be treated like this. Oh, this isn't right. This isn't fair. You're a victim of your circumstances. And our minds get us focused on us primarily, on what we deserve, on what's right and fair and just for us, how bad it is for us, how we're being mistreated, how we're being persecuted. But I want you to look at what Peter tells these people who are going through persecution. And the first thing he tells them is that you have a comforting hope. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the word hope that is used in the New Testament always refers to a confident expectation of something good. It's not exactly how we use it today. I could say to you, I hope that when I get home after church, my wife has a big, juicy steak waiting for me. I could hope that all morning. It's not going to happen. The word hope in the New Testament is different from that. Our word hope is sort of an if-then situation. If this happens, then this will happen. If this happens, this will be good. Their hope is a confident expectation that something good will, in fact, happen. Peter calls it a hope that is alive. And it's alive because it is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope as Christians is based upon a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And in his great mercy, God has given us this hope. It is hope, a confidence that life will not always be like this as we go through challenges. It is a hope, a confidence that you can survive the challenges of life. It is a hope, a confidence that something better is coming for us. And in his mercy, Peter says, God gives us a living hope. And you and I need to practice refocusing our thoughts. Stop focusing on what is going wrong in your life. Stop focusing on the negative things in your life. And focus your thoughts on what God has already given you in life. And that is a hope. Now, that's not the